listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Almost weekly, getting our update from the Heritage Foundation. Emma Waters once again joins us. Emma, thanks for taking the time.
Steve, it's great to be with you on this March for Life Friday.
Yes, and so many. We talked with the representatives from Care Net Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque yesterday on the show. They, of course, are going to be at many churches this weekend on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. But just a reminder that you can reach out to them anytime throughout the year to have them come out to your church and better educate them about the ministry that they are operating and services that they offer at no cost in defending life. So I want to jump to a story, Emma, that I noticed on the Daily Signal at thedailysignal.com. The headline is Virginia Democrats move to embed transgender and queer history across kids' curriculum. And what struck me there, I mean, the first thing that came to mind for me was, okay, someone there didn't get the memo. And I'm talking about the 2024 election that, you know, people are done with this. And actually, before I say more, I want to throw it to you. Because I know you've looked into this story much deeper than I have.
No, Steve, you're absolutely right. It seems very clear that identity politics are back in Virginia, and they are heavily hitting the state's most vulnerable population, kids in public schools, particularly K-12 education. One of the very first mandates was to permanently embed and test inclusive history in K-12 education. And of course, when you hear the phrase inclusive history, what does this mean? It means 1619 Project, sort of racial propaganda that doesn't actually honor or dive into the true history of slavery in the United States or the contributions of Black Americans, but really creates a narrative where there's an ongoing oppression towards a particular kind of people that no matter how hard they try, they're still oppressed and can't get out. This is a message that is completely contrary to the gospel. It's completely contrary to the founding of the United States, to Abraham Lincoln. And then on top of that, in their inclusive history, they're including LGBTQ topics in children's classrooms. So they're specifically diving into gay, lesbian, queer, transgender histories and contributions. And if anyone remembers the COVID era, and even what happened in the state of Virginia, there was a massive push to rid the public school systems of these very ideologies that were sexualizing children, teaching them highly perverse content with pictures at a young age to try to normalize these forms of sexual promiscuity and perverseness that are so far outside of God's created order and so inappropriate for children of that vulnerable age who really don't have the emotional or mental maturity to even begin processing the things that they're seeing. And yet that is one of the primary new focus points for the Democrat Congress in Virginia. And I think it's been a really disheartening, very sobering reminder that even though Glenn Youngkin won on a parents' rights empowerment agenda over the K-12 school system in Virginia, all it takes is a really bad election, a really bad choice by the people to undo years of hard work.
Well, a couple of points I want to cover before we finish up our conversation. One being, the percentage of the population that makes up the LGBTQ plus community, and I don't want. I wouldn't want this in any part of the curriculum K through 12. However, if it's going to be there, I am going to, if I was a betting man, I'm guessing that I would get wealthy betting on that. The amount of history, time spent, on that topic in that part of, our nation's history will not be proportionate to, every other ideology. There's that for one. And then the other is, this isn't Virginia. This is a long way from New Mexico. What can the KLYT listener learn from what's going on in Virginia? Our legislative session just got underway Tuesday. So, you know, that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, there are two big things that stand out to me. One, a little more meta level. So there's this unspoken expectation in the Beltway here in DC, our nation's capital, that if you are a Democrat, if you lean hard progressive left, then you have Maryland that you can go to. And Maryland tends to be the home of all the DCers who are hard left. But for a long time, the understanding was that if you were Republican, if you were conservative, that Virginia was sort of your hiatus, where you would have a state that would still reflect your opinions, your viewpoints, your approach to politics, even if you are living far from home, working in our nation's capital. With this, with the new governor, with the new Congress in Virginia really taking the state the direction they are, they've really removed that last safe haven that we had for people who are conservative and working in DC and usually living in Virginia. And so I think one of the things that stands out to me is there's a question of how does this election, while not directly correlated, actually try to place pressure on who comes to work in DC, the values that they hold, if the state that they're living in is actively undermining everything they're fighting for in the work that they do in politics here in Washington, D.C. What kind of pressure or deterrent is that for really good aligned people to come and work in national politics, whether that's in Congress or in the administration or with a think tank like the Heritage Foundation? And then the more specific application that I would say is I think it's just a fantastic reminder that you were only one election away from fault heart freedoms that you have. And so I think it's just a reminder that you can never, ever become, you can never make assumptions. You can never let your guard down and just assume that if you've won a battle, things are going to stay this way, but you have to keep fighting for what is true, keep defending those freedoms, and always assume that there's a new attack around the corner that you need to be prepared for.
Well, Emma, I think you nailed it. And you heard my amen. On all of it, but you know, my thought was, yeah, the midterms are not that far away. And it's going to be super important that people are registered to vote and that they go vote. We know, you know, as conservatives and Christians here in New Mexico, we know that more than most, I think. And I would encourage people, to do such, you know, make sure you're registered and make sure you vote. You turn around and these things start popping back up. It's a little bit scary, but you know what? I think, you know, I'm not a sports fan, so it's kind of like a great team that loses a game just before heading into the playoffs. It's a reminder that as good as things might be, you said just an election away, right? Just a game away from things not going so well. So you have to be on guard. You have to be, workmen on the wall. You and I were talking about that a little bit off the air from Nehemiah, and I know that our brothers and sisters in Christ can make that application. So appreciate your time, Emma. Great coverage, and look forward to having you back on again real soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Steve.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.